Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to focus primarily on the gospel reading this morning. And I want to start by saying, whenever someone has said to me something along the lines of, I've got some things I need to say to you, but we're going to need to have a talk later on about it. I can't think of a time when that has happened when I have ever thought to myself, well, that's good news, right? I overheard a couple of people talking one time. These weren't people that I knew. I overheard some people talking, and this one man was talking about how his boss said to him, kind of angrily, you know, that he needed to set up a lunch appointment with him because he had some things he needed to seriously talk to him about. And this one man was talking to his other coworker about it, and he was really kind of dreading it, and the other guy said, well, what do you think it's about? And he said, I doubt that he's doing it to tell me what a great job I've been doing. And you know that feeling, right? You know, when somebody says to you, I got some things I want to say to you, but I'm going to wait till later, it's not fun, right? I mean, you don't think of it as being like, oh, great, I can't wait to hear the good news. And so it's hard to imagine when Jesus says to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. It's hard to imagine that they would have received this warmly. And of all the things that Jesus had been saying to them about how he was making all things new, and about how he loved the world so much that he was giving himself as a sacrifice for their sins, and about how he was telling them about the promise of eternal life and how the kingdom of God was breaking in, and how forgiveness of sins was being freely offered to all, and all of these things, it's hard to seem like they would have received this gladly. In fact, it seems like perhaps they would have been quite confused by it. But the good news is, you and I have the privilege of knowing the full context and the rest of the narrative of this story as it unfolds, and we know that it is very much good news. Because you see, the reality is, Jesus was not saying that I have many things to say to you and you're not going to like it. That's not what he meant when he said, you can't bear them now. What he was saying is, I have many things to say to you, but it's just too much information to just dump on you all at once. He's saying, I have so much to say to you that it needs to be slowly revealed to you over time. And so therefore, I'm going to continue to speak to you and be with you forever. And what that means is that you and I, we don't worship a man who is simply a historical figure, who lived and died a long time ago. We don't worship a God who was simply contained in a book of fancy sayings and interesting teachings, who we wish were still here today and has still had some kind of relevance. No, we worship a God who continues to speak to us in a living way. That's what Jesus was saying to them, that he would continue to speak. And so the question is, how does God continue to speak to us? today? And the answer that I want to give in just the next few minutes that this text reveals to us, I would suggest, is that God continues to speak to us through unlikely and even marginalized communities. Now, let's look at this for a minute. Now, let me just say, does God speak to us through the scriptures? Does God speak to us through the church? Does God speak to us through other Christian friends? Does God speak to us through prayer, through the sacraments? Absolutely, of course. Those are the primary ways that God speaks to us. But that's obvious. Those are the obvious known ways. But Jesus is going deeper here. There are many ways God speaks to us, and Jesus is sort of pushing the boundaries, if you will, and he's kind of showing the ways that he's going to continue to be with us. And one of those ways is through unexpected marginalized communities. And here's why. Remember, when Jesus said these words, it was before the day of Pentecost. See, the timing and the chronology in the Revised Common Lectionary is a little bit strange, because last Sunday we celebrated the day of Pentecost. Today is Trinity Sunday, but this gospel text is a text that, in the timeline of the life of Jesus, takes place before the day of Pentecost. So as Jesus is saying that the Spirit of truth will come, he's telling them about the Holy Spirit that is going to come and be poured out upon them. And as you remember from last week, when Pastor Randy preached on that, when the day of Pentecost came, it was poured out on all people. And that passage in the book of Acts speaks very specifically about who all of those people were. And it names people from very specific and distinct nations all over the world, of very known people groups, and makes known to us that the people who received the Holy Spirit on that day were people from economically oppressed nations, from politically marginalized nations, from racially marginalized nations. It also makes known to us, as the book of Acts continues to show us what it looked like as the Holy Spirit pushed her way through the new world, we see groups of people that in the first century did not have social standing, people such as women, slaves, and children, all of whom were considered less than second-class citizens, whose voices were not admissible in court, who were not permitted to have places of leadership in the church or in the home, were now granted full access and equality in communities. And then, of course, you have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, someone who was not only a racial minority, but a sexual outcast, receives the Holy Spirit, is baptized, and becomes essentially the first founding member of the church in the continent of Africa. And so as we look at Jesus here talking about how he, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, bring this aspect of grace to the world, we see that God essentially functions as a community, as a relational being who brings new life to unexpected and marginalized places. It's amazing. So are we listening to the voices of those in communities that historically have been perhaps disregarded. It's strange to think that at one time in history, that Galileo was excommunicated from the church and killed for suggesting that the earth was round, for suggesting that the earth revolved around the sun. The scientific community in many circles was completely disregarded by the church, and some circles still is. The LGBTQ community, the Black Lives Matter community. What communities are marginalized? What communities are unexpected? What places might God's voice be speaking through the Holy Spirit to us? The Romans passage tells us that hope does not disappoint us, and it tells us that we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance. And you think about the communities of the world that have experienced some of the greatest sufferings, and I often wonder if those are the communities often where God's voice seems to be speaking. What is so amazing about this, about God speaking to us through unexpected places and marginalized communities, is that this gives us a chance to always be surprised, but also a chance to always respond to the voice of God. We have wonderful opportunities to be surprised when God speaks, but always wonderful opportunities to respond to God showing up in unexpected places. Maybe you saw the story this past week of a woman who received a used couch on Craigslist. There was a woman who was very much in need of a couch. She found one on Craigslist, and she was astounded to see that it was free, was no charge whatsoever, and so she put in her interest in it, and the seller accepted and sealed the deal and sent her this couch. She received the couch, and she loved it, set it up in her home, took a picture of it. It went very well with all the decor in her house. And then she happened to notice that there were what appeared to be some papers sticking out from beneath one of the cushions, and she went over and lifted up the cushion and found that it was an envelope of sorts, and she opened it up and found what happened to be $36,000 in cash. And so, somewhat astounded, she contacted the previous owner of the couch, and they had no idea that the cash was there. It turned out that the couch had belonged to the owner's previous owner's parents. They had no idea the cash had been stashed there, and the previous owners actually were in need of cash, and so she sent it back to them, and they were very grateful. And they sent her a small gift as a reward. And in an interview, the woman who received the couch, she said, "God has given me everything already. So what could I possibly ask from God?" All right, now first of all, who does that? Okay, who puts $36,000 in cash in an envelope, stuffs it in a couch cushion, and then who gets that couch and then doesn't know and doesn't look under the cushion and then gives it away? And then who receives that couch and finds the cash in it, knowing that the previous owners didn't know about it, and then calls them and gives the money back? Who does that? Who does any of that? It's amazing. But it's an incredible opportunity of surprise. Now, how does all this tie into John 16? Well, the point is not, you know, be on the lookout because maybe God will send you $36,000 in an old couch. No, that's not the point. The point is God shows up in unexpected places and unexpected ways. And God gives us an opportunity to respond in unexpected ways that bless others. See, when you think about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one of the things that makes sense about that is the fact that if God exists in community, then God created us not because God needed us, right? Because God already had a community of persons to share love with. God didn't need more community. So God didn't create us to get something from us, but God created us to give love to us, to spread love. And the task that God gives us is not that we might somehow be messengers of trying to theologically explain the doctrine of the Trinity to the world, but that we might be messengers of spreading the love and the compassion of the Trinity to the world, that we might listen to the marginalized voices of the world, that we might be looking for how God shows up in unexpected places, and that we might respond with graciousness and love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.